Lord Jesus, you are an amazing God. And I thank you so much for this morning that we can come together in this first day of the week on Sunday and really honor you. I pray that we might speak well. Lord, we're going to be talking about things that I don't fully understand. And the little bit of insight that I'm going to try to share this morning has really makes an impact in my life, and it'll make an impact in the lives of believers. I pray that you might lead us to truth this morning. Thank you for Safwad and his wife and for what they do, Lord. And man, we don't even have to send a missionary to the other side of the world to reach the Arabic people. I thank you that you have something right here, just right outside of our community. I pray that you might call us to get involved in that somehow, Lord. And honestly, the prayer is awesome, but Lord, I pray that you might lead us to even invest somewhat of what we're doing. Lord, we can get frustrated with ISIS and frustrated with the Muslim people, but Lord, we need to do something about it. And we've just been offered a chance this morning to do something amazing that will not just change their habits, it will change their eternity. I just pray that you might speak to these people in dreams and visions, that you might get under that blindfold that they have and just speak to their hearts. And I pray that you might make yourself so obvious to them that they can't deny it, and that your Holy Spirit just work in their lives. Thank you for people like this that are working in parts of the world that we couldn't work in, with different people that we can't work in. Lord, we are called. Here is this church. There's a lot of us here like Bob Lehman. And Lord, you've gathered us together to pray, to raise funds, to share your word, to plant churches north and all around. I thank you that we can be involved in that work. Lord, this morning, please speak to us, speak to our hearts. Use my mouth and my feeble illustrations to really maybe communicate what you want to say. I invite your Holy Spirit to be here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're talking about from a non-believer to a fully devoted follower of Christ. Like this, we're going to win people for Lord, we're going to build them up, we're going to equip them to go back into your world, okay? So this is kind of what we're doing. For he's equipped to go into his world, you're equipped to go into your world. And this is what God's taken us from a believer in Christ, from a non-believer to a fully devoted follower of Christ. And that's what we're studying. We're looking at it through the life of Peter. Now, we're not going to talk about Peter a whole lot today. We'll be back on Peter next week. Bob will be sharing some amazing things about Peter. But we're going back and we've got to understand, Peter finally gets to the point where he gets it. The disciples were a little thick sometimes, a little bit, they didn't get it. They were like, you know, but all this stuff was happening, they can't comprehend it. They just had so much trouble comprehending it. And finally, they see Jesus Christ rise from the grave. They experience him. Peter has a conversation with Jesus, and Jesus says, now that you see, feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. And finally, Jesus is getting ready to go back to heaven, and that's where we're at today. And a lot of the passages have what's called the Great Commission, okay? I don't really like that as much. The Bible calls it the Great Commission, but I like to think of it more as the Great Invitation, okay? The Great Invitation. Jesus is inviting people to get involved in his ministry. Jesus is saying, you know, I'm going to go back to heaven, okay? And what I want you to do, I want you to go and make disciples. I want you to baptize. I want you to teach them, and I'm going to be with you. But he invites them to get involved in his ministry. And there's really simple verses on what God's mission is. Jesus, who was Jesus? God, all right? And so he's inviting them to get involved in his ministry, or God's ministry. What was Jesus' mission? What was Jesus' mission on? Jesus' mission on earth was really simple. And one way it's said in Luke 9:9-10, Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man, what? Came to what? Seek and to save those that were lost. That's what Jesus came for. That's what God's mission on earth is, to seek people who are lost and save them. Okay, to present the gospel to them, for that blindfold to come off so they can say, oh, I understand it, because every single person is born sinful. We're born lost in sin, okay? And God loves us, and he doesn't want to see that, so he sent Jesus to pay the eternal consequences, not to cover up our sins, but to take it away. His mission is to seek and save those that were lost. Another passage that says it simply, and you probably don't know this, but John 3:16, okay? John 3:16, you see that at all the game. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever, what? Believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. This is God's mission, stated all throughout the Bible. This is why Jesus came, not to feed the hungry, not to be a humanitarian, because when he left, there were still hungry people and dying people and sick people, to seek and save the lost. And he tells his disciples, this is my mission, will you join me in this? And literally, that's what he's speaking to each one of us about. God saved you, not so you could have a nice, comfortable little armchair, lounge chair, beach, hammock, sand blown in your eyes life, okay? Although, that's nice to do once in a while, and you should go on family vacation. But God saved us to reach lost people. Fully devoted follower of Christ is fully devoted and trained, built, and equipped to reach lost people. And God puts you right smack in the middle of lost people in Pine Grove. Or from some of you foreigners in Lebanon County or, you know, or Berks or wherever. You know, God saved us for that purpose. And we need to get involved in this. We can get involved in work with the Arabs. We can get involved with, Joseph Brito down in India and with different missionaries around the world. But literally, you are called, you personally are invited to join Jesus here in some sort of a ministry. And that's what God. And he says, and this is cool, I like about God. He says, should you choose to accept my invitation, okay? Should you choose to accept it? Now, what's that show that does that? Should you choose Mission Impossible, okay? Tom Cruise. Should you choose to accept it? I should have said it like Tom, Mr. Cruise. But anyway, I didn't. But should you choose to accept it, God says, I'm going to be upfront about you. There's going to be a cost. There's going to be a sacrifice, okay? And here's where a lot of people say, oh, yeah. But when it comes right down to it, there's a cost in following Jesus. There's a cost in reaching people. And it's not just a monetary cost, because you guys do amazing with monetary things. Church doesn't have needs. We have extra money. We're given to different people. Our church doesn't have monetary needs. You do great with what God's calling you to do and the sacrifice he's calling you to make in monetary terms, but there's a sacrifice that's harder to make than that, and it's my way. I need to sacrifice my way, my will. All right? A great, great sacrifice. There's going to be a cost. And I like to say the cost is my way for a better way. Now, that's interesting because we all want to live the way we want. We all want to get ahead and do our things. But God said, listen, there's a better way. And it's if you sacrifice your way, there's a better way. He says, my way is better than your way. We think we know what we want to do. We think we understand that. We think, oh, I'm going to have to sacrifice my way and give up my will to the Lord's will. And I'm going to have to lay myself down and all this kind of stuff. And God says, listen, here's the sacrifice. You trade your way for a better way. And God's way is so much better. God's way is so much better. And we spend so much time talking about God's way. The Sharpie mark compared to eternity and all the illustrations, how cool heaven's going to be. We get to do whatever we get to do up there. I don't even know what it is, but it's going to be better than this earth. And no matter how big we build it up, God's way is far superior than our way. We might have physical pain. We might be martyred when we witness for Christ. We might have to sacrifice money or whatever. We might have to leave and go somewhere like a lot of missionaries do. But still, God's way is way better than our way. And I don't even know how to explain that. The only way I can explain that, anybody ever been to Niagara Falls? Anybody ever been to the Grand Canyon? Okay, what do the two of them have in common? They're big. They're big. All right? When I first went to Niagara Falls, everybody said, oh, it's so big, you get there. And it's like, oh, you know, and they said, the Grand Canyon, you can't even picture how big it is. You get there, and you're like, whoa, it's so big, you know. And I saw pictures of it. You know, unless you fan them, then they get bigger, you know. I saw pictures of it. When I went, I had the same reaction when I went to Niagara Falls and went to the Grand Canyon. I got there, and it's like, okay, this is going to be really cool. And I got there, and it's like, wow, it's bigger than anybody could explain it to me. I had the same reaction, both of them. Standing on the edge of the Grand Canyon, it's like, it is really, really big. God's way is that much better than the way we think is the right way for us to live. God's way is so much bigger. And I think we're going to have that kind of reaction when we get to heaven. I get to sing for all of eternity. Man, I have trouble singing for an hour, you know? But I think we're going to get there, and it's going to be like, wow, this is amazing. And so God asks us to lay our little feeble way down and the way we think we should do things and what we think we should do for life. He asks us to lay our lives down for Him, and our will and our desire and our direction doesn't mean you have to stop being human. Doesn't mean you got to stop going to work and all that kind of stuff. He just says, listen, when I ask you to do something, I have a way planned for your life. I designed and I built you for a certain thing, for a certain eternal goal. And when you stop trying to do your own way and submit to me, you're going to be like, wow, it is better. It's incredible. And no one can explain that to you until you experience it for yourself. John 15, 9 to 11, as the Father has loved me. This is, as the Father has loved me, so I've loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept the Father's commands and remain in His love. I have told you this. Listen, it's cool. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy will be complete. Now, when he's talking about his joy, he's not just saying, he'll be just happy, run around just happy all the time. He says, I've told you these things. When you love God, the first commandment, when you love God more than your own way, when we serve Him, he says, my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. Did you ever have complete joy before? I've had joy before. I've had that feeling, but I don't even know how to explain complete joy. I just know that when you do something positive for eternal values for somebody, and when you influence someone's eternity, you sit down in your chair at night after you cook and clean the house and wash the dishes and all that kind of stuff that you ladies got to do while your husband sits there. You sit there and you say, that was cool. I influenced someone for Christ. KFJ, you lead someone to the Lord as a teacher. You go home and it's like, there's not a whole, you might not be bubbly, giggly, but you did something for all of eternity. And God says, listen, if you are willing to accept my invitation, my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. We're called to lay down our lives. We're called to lay our way, our pride. We're called to lay down, that's just the way I am's. You know what, we do that? That's just the way I am, you know? Get over it. We're called to lay that stuff down. I have so many people say, well, I don't have that kind of personality, and it's just the way. Well, come on, that's ridiculous. It's the way you are, that's probably true, but change. Be the way God wants you to be. Lay those things down. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. It's the greatest commandment. And then John 15, 12 to 16, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Love each other. We are called to love each other. We are called to love the Muslims. We are called to love the ISIS people. Not say, here, move into my home and here's my garage and make whatever you want to make in my garage. But we are called to love them enough to pray for them, love them enough to send people to them, love them enough to make a difference in their lives for eternity. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, than to lay one's life down for his friends. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. That's God's invitation. I've appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that'll last, not just, you know, a bank account, although that's nice to have, not just a big retirement, although God talks about that, but we are supposed to use our lives and our bodies and our time and our energies to make a difference for all of eternity. And you might have to sacrifice maybe some of your own desire. You might have to sacrifice, like, well, it's going to be so afraid. Bob was a tad nervous to get up there somewhere, just a tad, okay? Most of you guys would be. But he sacrificed and he laid that down to come up and give a testimony about Jesus Christ and what God's doing in his life. I've seen God work in their lives. It's just incredible. And God's called you to lay down your comfort for a greater value. Now, he doesn't feel it yet because he still has a second service to do it. But oh, man. We're called to love other people enough. To love our neighbor as ourselves. Who is our neighbor? Everybody. We're called to love these people enough. Love your neighbor. And I'll tell you what, as we do that, and we've talked about this before, expect persecution as you obey. Expect persecution. It's not an unusual event, okay? Expect it. A matter of fact, biblically, we talked about it, we should look forward to that because we get to share in the sufferings of Christ. Okay? So when you lay yourself down and when you lay your will down, it's not going to be as easy maybe as what you thought it was going to be if you kind of did your own thing. But we are called to expect that. John 15, John 15, 18 to 21 is a great verse on that. It's just, and I love God because he's up front here. If the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That's so cool. God chose you. This is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you? A servant is not greater than master. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. And we heard that explanation this morning. They don't know who it is they're persecuting. And we are called to make an eternal difference in this world, in our world right here, and whatever difference we can make in the rest of the world, in Jerusalem and then Judea and then to the uttermost parts of the world, we are called to make a difference. And when we do that, God's joy will be in us. Our joy will be complete. We're going to have persecution because they hated Jesus. So we get this idea in America that everything should be fine and we all have our rights to be happy and our rights to be satisfied. And I have the right to this and I have the right to sue that person and I have the right to, you know, to be a boy and a girl, you know. It's like, come on. I don't know where that came from. That's just my frustration with this boy-girl stuff, all right. But we're called to be men and women of God. We were created for that purpose, and we will never reach our full potential in Christ until we surrender, and I don't even know what that looks like sometimes. It's just like saying, okay, I'll share my testimony. I've been fighting it and fighting it and fighting it, but I'll do it. It's okay, I'll talk to the neighbor. It's okay, I'll mention Jesus Christ in school in one of my classes, you know, and I'll risk my job. It's okay with the neighbor, the guy down the street, a friend. It's okay to do this kind of stuff. And we kind of lay that down and we say, God, whatever you called me to do, that's what I'm going to do. It's okay to sacrifice finances and all this kind of stuff. But the God says, they hated me, they're going to hate you. Just get used to it. You want to be equipped and you want to be sent into the world, they're going to hate you. That's kind of the great invitation or the great commission. But what I want to focus this morning, I didn't even start yet. That was just introduction. I want to look at one more part of the great invitation. And this is the cool part. Expect all this kind of stuff. This is what God wants us to do. That goes without saying. But I love this part. I want to look at one more thing in here in Acts 1:8. We have the invitation to join God in his work. He invites us. I like that word. It just doesn't sound as nasty as commissioned, all right? Because he just says, you're going to be my witnesses. We talked about that before. If you know Christ, you can't keep that inside. You've got to let it out. You've got to learn to let it out a little bit more, a little bit more. So he has the great invitation. And Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. What I want to focus on, I love this, is you will receive power. And Peter's part of this whole process here. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. God promised the Holy Spirit to these people. And he puts in, whenever he talks about the Holy Spirit, a lot of times God talks about the power of the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. All right, so whenever we see the Holy Spirit, a lot of times we see power. So I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. Just when I'm done today, you'll fully understand the Holy Spirit and all that he does and everything like that, because I have a perfect formula for this, all right? I asked Siri, but no. But so we see God at work. We can see God at work when he says the Holy Spirit. He says, as believers in Christ, and when do you get the Holy Spirit? Do we have to go to church and wait for these tongues of fire to come down? We'll talk about that next week. No, we get the Holy Spirit when? The moment we believe or accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. All of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is big. This is a huge subject. And I don't feel qualified to do this, okay? But I'm going to do the best I can using God's word. When the moment we believe that Jesus Christ, having believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. You see that all throughout the Bible. The moment you believe, okay, from the day of Pentecost on, you receive the Holy Spirit. So we see a lot of times, if you're a believer in Christ, you've been given the Holy Spirit. I don't think we fully understand what the Holy Spirit is and stuff like that, but we're going to try to explain that. Luke 24:49. All right. First thing about the Holy Spirit, we are promised the Holy Spirit, okay? We are promised the Holy Spirit. Luke 24:49, Jesus says, this is Jesus' quote. Who was Jesus? God. Okay. I'm going to say that quite often this morning, because it's God himself making this promise. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. Okay? This is a promise. Does God go back on his promises? Never. Does it seem like he does sometimes? We don't fully understand it. But he never goes back on his promises. Ever, ever. He says, I'm going to send you what my Father's promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So when Jesus Christ describes the Holy Spirit, one thing, God promised the Holy Spirit, and he says it's being clothed with power. And you're going to understand that in a little bit. We walk around, we have all our abilities and all our degrees and all this kind of stuff, and we think we're really cool, but God says, you don't even have power yet, all right? You can walk on water and you can do all this kind of stuff, but you don't even have power. Go back and wait. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll be clothed. You'll dress in power from on high in heaven. That's the promise by God. And here's what makes it powerful. And that's what I was interested in. John 14, 15 to 20. John 14, 15 to 20. It describes a little bit of the power and where that power comes from. Listen to this. If you love me, Jesus says, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. So if you love me, he said, I want you to keep my commands. If you love me, I want you to keep my commands, and I'm going to ask the Father, he'll give you an advocate, someone who's on your side, someone that's pro you, to help you and be with you forever. We're not even going to talk about that. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. Now, did you ever try to tell someone that you're a Christian and when you accepted Jesus Christ, God came and lived in your body? It's like, I do that sometimes. It's like, if they're not really church people, they don't. That sounds a little weird, don't it? The Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in my body, you know? It's like, that's a little bit weird. But listen to what it says. So they're not going to understand this fully. The world can't accept him because it either sees him or knows him. But you know him. Listen to this. For he lives with you and will be in you. God says the Holy Spirit will live with you and be in you. And Jesus says, I'll not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live in you and you will also live. So Jesus says, he's going back to heaven. You're not going to see him anymore, but then I'm going to come back and I'm going to live in you. You'll know me because I live, but you will see me because I live. So you also will live. On that day, you will realize, listen to this. This is what I should have just gone to this in the beginning. I am in my Father, okay? Jesus, we're talking the Trinity here. God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three people. One person. God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We talked about this before. Don't explain this. But here's what it says. Jesus says, on that day you'll realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. So, if Jesus says, I'm in my Father, Jesus is in his Father, right? And you are in me, that means where are you positionally as a believer? In the Father, okay? And I am in you, and I'm going to live in you. Do you know, this is not a huge new revelation, as a believer in Christ, when you're given the Holy Spirit, that's God in you, all of God. Jesus and the Holy Spirit. When you accept Christ, all of God is alive and he's living inside of you. Now, that's not weird and that's not scary when you know Christ, but all of God is alive and he's living inside of you. What part of God stayed in heaven? None of them. All of God. Jesus says, I'm in my Father, you're in me, and I'm in you. God is alive and he's living inside of you. You are given the Holy Spirit at the moment of your salvation. You are given... If Jesus is God, who's the Holy Spirit? God. God is alive and he's living inside of you, and you will be clothed in God. God will take up residence inside of you. Now, I don't understand how that can happen, but what I do know is that's why God says you'll be clothed in power. Because all of God is alive and He's living inside of you. And when He asks you to do something, He calls you to do something, guess what? You think He leaves? No, He'll never leave you or forsake you. He is still alive and living inside of your body. So when He calls you up the front to do your testimony, guess who was living inside of Bob at that moment? God was alive and living inside of Bob, enabling him to do what He called him to do. And when God calls you to your people, and God calls you to your neighborhood, and God calls you to your students, and God calls you to your friends, and God calls you to the Arabic people, God always enables you to do, because God takes up residence in your life. God is in your life. That's why power is always associated, almost always associated with the Holy Spirit. Now, that power doesn't come out in miracles, you know, here, you know, your pants are torn, there you go, you know. No, we're not talking miraculous things. Although God can do miraculous things, and He still does those kind of things, it's God just enables you to do what He's called you to do. It's just, I know that doesn't explain it, and it gets worse. So don't worry. God Himself in us. That's why the Bible talks about the power. John 16:17. And this now, can I have a little bit of grace in what I'm about to say? Okay, please give me a little bit of grace. Jesus says in John 16:7, but verily, very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away, because unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I'll send him to you. You know what? Where I need grace is I'm saying, Jesus says, listen, there's something better than me. Because if I stay with you, then I can talk to you and I can have my own little disciple groupies. But what about the rest of the world? He says, it's very important that I leave, because when I leave, there's something even better than me coming. Something better you have. It is better to have the Holy Spirit than Jesus walking with you and riding in your car and going with you there. Now, that's why I ask for grace, because, I mean, saying something's better than Jesus just doesn't sound right. Since Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit's God, I guess we can say that. But Jesus said it's important that I go away, because if I go away, then I'm going to send something better. And if I don't go away, then you won't get the Holy Spirit. Jesus must have thought it was so important to have the Holy Spirit that He left earth so God could come and live inside of all the believers. What an amazing thing. It's for your good that I'm going away. So it's better that you have the Holy Spirit living in your life than if Jesus was walking by your side. And please don't quote me on that, because out of context, it's not right. I'm not belittling Jesus. I'm just be-bigging the Holy Spirit. All right? And no, that's not right, but, you know, it's just like, it's incredible. Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus came to them and said, listen to this, all authority in heaven and earth have been given to me. Okay? First thing He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Okay? That's because He's God. Okay? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, He says, go and make disciples of all nations. All authority has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always. Three promises in here. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Surely I am with you always. Okay, so God said, all authority has been given to me. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, and I'm always going to be with you in the form of the Holy Spirit. So when, as a believer, are you without Christ? Never. When are you without God living in your life as a believer in Christ? Never. How much authority does the Holy Spirit that's living inside of you have? All. In heaven and earth, you have that Holy Spirit. You have that God living inside of you. He says, now because of that, go and make disciples. Stop our stinking little puny excuses. We always have these excuses why we can't. It's not the right time. It's not this. And sometimes it isn't the right time. But the excuses that you all know that you make. I don't make any excuses anymore. I am just fully 100% in there. I never make excuses, just you. I wish I could say that. But we make all these excuses. And we have all the power of God in this tiny little living space. That's an old movie. You guys that laughed, Aladdin, all right? We have all the power of God living in this body. Your body. Think about that for the minute. God says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And I'll never leave you. I'll be with you always. Now, if you believe those two, why don't we believe to go and make disciples? How can we pick and choose? I believe this and I believe this, but this one, that's really not for me. That's for a disciple maker. That's for a missionary. That's for a pastor. That's for, you know, children's ministries people. That's for people that are outgoing and win smoker grills or something like that, you know? Cindy. She won a really cool grill last night. Anyway, that's beside the point. I just think God says it's really simple. Go, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Surely I'm with you always. Now, what are we afraid of? Why are we afraid to make disciples? We're afraid we may lose our job. That would be a big deal. You know what they would call that for sharing Christ with somebody? You know what they would call losing your job? Persecution. But we don't want that. Even though God promised to supply all your needs when we live for him. Well, what if they laugh at me? What if, you know, all the excuses we make. That's not my personality. Well, but all authority in heaven and earth has been given to you. God says, I'm always with you. It's not my personality. Yeah, you might not have that. You might not be gifted in certain areas, but the areas you're gifted in, God says, find out what that is and go use that. And you're not on your own. You don't have to, you don't have to do this alone. It's so cool. Man, I got to go fast. And you must have taken 6 minutes. Jeez. All right. But I'm working on Arabic time just in honor of the Arabic people here. Jesus, I'm going to skip Acts 1, 4 to 8. Just read that. I put the notes in there. It's such good. It talks about you'll receive power and the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You're going to be my witnesses. Zechariah 4, 6. And we're talking about the power of God. That's why Zechariah. So he said to them, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. That's how we live for Christ. Not because we're good, not because we've been, you know, learned at it. No, it's because you have the Holy Spirit. All the authority, all the power, God himself living inside of your life. Now, you won't sound like me when you talk to somebody about Christ. And so many times I wish you were there to talk to someone about Christ because my words sound stupid sometimes. Not never in church they don't. But they always sound ridiculous when I say them. It's like I walk away thinking, I don't even know if that made sense. I'm so embarrassed, you know? And I sit down from teacher. I said, Vicki, did that make any sense at all? And she always says, yes, I'll talk to you about it later. And then I know it didn't. Anyway, but let me read this verse. Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. For this reason I kneel before God the Father, in whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, listen to this, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. God is just full of the fact that I'm not going to leave you alone. I give you an advocate. I am literally going to come and live inside of your life, and I'm going to strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. You are a powerful believer in Christ. Now, that's not something to get a big head about and say, hey, I'm awesome. Plenty of pastors do that, all right? And don't go to their churches, all right? But the power that you have with Christ is alive and in you. He strengthens you with power through his spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And who is Christ that's dwelling in your heart through faith? Who is that? God dwells in your heart through faith in Christ. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, that's the built and equipped, may have power together with all the Lord, with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of fullness of God. You are filled when you live for God and you allow the Holy Spirit to use you, you're filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. How much fullness is that? How filled is that? Okay, yeah, right. I'm going to calm down because I'm not trying to hype you up here. This is just truth, and it is really cool truth because a lot of us are very insecure. A lot of us are very insecure in our faith or new in our faith. But I'm just telling you, this. You need to know what you have as a believer in Christ. This is no small potatoes. This is a big deal. that you have Christ in your life. Now to him is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work where? Within us. To him be the glory. And that's where it goes, in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This power that works within us is an amazing thing. And trying to illustrate that, I brought my DeWalt power drill, okay? Awesome tool. Sharp blade on this. Check it out. Watch how fast it drills a hole. All right? Are you ready? Just give me a second. I don't have enough time for this. All right. All right, look at that. You see it? That thing does amazing to drill holes with this. It takes a long time. We were working at Bob's house yesterday. We got 1 2x4 put up. You understand that this thing, it's a good drill. It is made, it's hardwired to drill holes. It is hardwired. Everything's in this. And this thing is equipped. It's heavy. It's all the equipment's in there. Got the bit, got the blade, got everything. It is equipped to do what it's called to do. What is this made to do? You were made to serve God. And you were hardwired, as God knit you together in your mother's womb, you were hardwired to do whatever it is God's called you to do. There's only one thing missing in this. What is it? Watch your eyes, because it's got a light on it too. It can drill a hole without being connected to this, can't it? You can drill a hole with that. But it's on your own strength and it's on your own power, and you're going to get so worn out, and when you're done, you're not going to say, oh, I'm so happy I can go to bed satisfied tonight because I drilled a hole. All right? But you take that baby and you put it on there. Check it out. Light, right? Oh, yeah. All right? Sounds cool. It was made to be connected. And I'm not trying to compare the Holy Spirit to a battery. But on your own, you're just going to be twisting and turning and trying to. But when you understand that you were hardwired to drill holes, to do what God called you to do, and you are connected to the Holy Spirit is like the battery. It's like the power. It's the battery that comes into you. It's in you. Now, I know that's a dumb illustration. The other illustration I have is even worse. All right? I'm not a basketball player. And every once in a while, I did this one time. This was about 10 years ago. I got asked to play on a basketball team, a church basketball team. I am not very good at basketball. I'm not tall enough. I think I'm taller than sophomore, though. You know, but we may be about the same. But I can't play basketball at all, even though in junior high I did, and I looked stupid because I had, anyway, the shorts back then were like up to here, you know. But I can't play basketball. And I just happened to run into Shaquille O'Neal one day. I was going through an airport. And ran into Shaquille. Now, you got a picture. Shaquille O'Neal is what, 6'8", something like that? Size 23 sneaker. I think that's what it is, size 23 sneaker. And I ran into him, and we got to have this really cool conversation. He thought I was awesome, and he liked my beard. And but I ran into him. I said, Shaq, I said, I got a problem, all right? I'm on this church league, and I'm not even a good basketball player. And I'm going to be totally humiliated. The church is going to be ashamed of me and all kinds of stuff like that. Could you do me a favor? Could you give me some pointers, okay? So we went out into the back. He actually visited our before the game, and he started giving me some pointers. And he did things that I couldn't do, like destroy people. And I'm saying, well, you know, can you teach me how to do that? I don't really know. You have to stand this far away because of the sneakers. And he worked for about half an hour. He said, there's not a lot of hope, Bob. You don't even like basketball. You don't even know how to do it well, and it's not going to be good. He said, I'll tell you what I do. Since I've been retired, I've learned a really cool thing. And if you allow me, I can help you out. I said, man, I'd love to have you help me out. So what he did, you're going to find this hard to believe, honestly, but what he did, he climbed inside of my body. Shaquille O'Neal, inside of my body. All right, he got just down there. He just kind of scrunched up down there. You know, I don't know how he did with his toes, curled them under. I don't know what he did. But when I went on out on basketball court, being an old dude, all right, the things I did out there were unbelievable. I was a star. I had recruiters coming and looking for. Now, he couldn't stay in there forever because, you know, he was all cramped up and stuff. But I played amazing. I just ran people over. I jumped up and did, like field goals. And, I mean, I did. Wow, what else did I do? Oh, I did one of them hat tricks. It was awesome. And obviously, no, I know that's not the right stuff. But if I had Shaquille O'Neal living inside of my body, I could do things that I could never do. I know how to dribble, and I can shoot, but it doesn't do real good. But with him living in my body, you know how I could play basketball? Unbelievably. And that is a stupid illustration of I can play basketball, but when I'm doing it on my own strength and my own ability, it's nothing. I don't even really enjoy the game. But if I had that kind of ability living inside of my body, I would just destroy everybody. They would say, Bob, you're the awesome. I mean, it would be so cool to be able to do that for one time. But we have God himself living inside of our bodies. God himself has taken up residence in the lives of believers. How he did it, I don't have a clue. It's the Holy Spirit, and what that looks like, I don't have any idea. But all I do know is God promised, Jesus promised something's better going to come. He promises that when it comes, I'm going to be clothed in power. And God himself is going to take up residence and live inside of my body. Sounds weird to non-believers. It sounds weird to Christians when you just say it. But it is absolute truth. All the power of God has taken up residence in my life. And for me to stifle that, for me to be afraid of that, for me to not use that, it's like taking a drill and twisting it. I got to live for God. Oh, it's so hard living for God. I got to do all these things. And it's like, oh. And you just wear yourself out. It's way easier to go. One little finger. It's not that my finger is that powerful. It's the power. And it's what this was hardwired to do. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Surely I'm with you always. Go make disciples. Very simply. And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes. That cloud hid him from their sight, and they were looking intently. So he's out with all his disciples, a bunch of them, and he was just taken up into a cloud, and he was hid from their sight. And this is the ascension. They were looking intently into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand there looking into the sky? The same Jesus who was taken up from you in heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go. And that's a whole story in its own, but I want to follow up our takeaway from this today. Here's what I would like you to take away from this today. Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. Now, I know you weren't crucified. Maybe you will be someday. But I've been crucified with Christ because when Jesus was crucified, he died with my sins in his body on the tree. He died for me. It was just as if he took my place. Now as a believer in Christ, I can say I've been crucified with Christ. And I don't live anymore because that old scary me, that old me that was just hardwired and has no power, that old me is dead. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. But what? Christ. Who is Christ? God lives in me. And the life I live now, how does it say it in this translation? The life I live now, I now live in the body. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. That really boils down to what we are as believers in Christ. We are filled with God himself as believers in Christ. Not because we go to church. It's when we accept God's forgiveness for our sins. When he died for me on the cross of Calvary, he died for my sins and he offered me salvation. The moment I accept that salvation and believe that Jesus died for me, I am given the Holy Spirit. All throughout the Bible it says this. And that's why Colossians 1:29, I'll leave you with this. Colossians 1:29, to this end, I strenuously contend. I strenuously contend is my part. Okay? God doesn't just say, hey, give me control, move out of the road, I'm doing my will through you. Okay? Uh-uh. This is why we got to lay down. It's really tough. And we're giving this stuff to God. It said, to this end, Paul says, I strenuously contend, that's his part, with all the energy that I learned in Bible college. With all the wisdom I learned in Bible college, that's where my strength lies, right? With all that good teaching at that Pine Grove Community Church, which is somewhere, one of these days, it's going to be like 5 years old, isn't it? Forget when it's going to be. But that's, you know what? I strenuously contend with all these things I learned in church and all my great mind and all this kind of stuff. No, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. We're called to do it. We are called to go, but we are called to believe that Jesus died in our place. He filled us with the Holy Spirit, and He gives us the power. He is the power. I'm hardwired to do His work, but I strenuously contend because I have to pick the drill up, you know, and I got to push it on the wood, and then I got to pull the trigger. I strenuously contend with all the strength that Christ works in me. Christ so powerfully works in me. I just want you to go home from here today understanding that you have been given God Himself in the form of the Holy Spirit in your life. So there's things you can't do. If God is calling you to do it, you can do it. Now, you'll try to do some things on your own that God says, listen, no, we don't want to go there. I have someone else made for that anyway. I just think we need to be available to God. And when we know what God's calling us to do, to start a CR program like Nathan did, that's not him. But he just felt God calling. So he went that direction, and he works hard at it with all the energy that God's given him, with God working through his life. Now, I wish I could talk to each one of these and break it down into your life, what that looks like. And I can't do that. But God has given you the ability, as you strenuously say, I want to lay down my life, God, I want to do this, and I want to share this, but it's going to be hard, and you get up and do it, and God himself will work through you and do it through you. Faithful is he who's called you. What? And he will do it. Thank you, Vicki. You've been answering everything this morning. You're awesome. And he'll do it. He'll do it. I think we need to trust God. All authority has been given to Jesus. He'll always be with you. Go and make disciples. What do we have to complain about? It's so cool. So, that's what we're going to do this week. Go and make a disciple. Start. Pray for a disciple. Pray for that ministry. Pray for the power for people to come up and share their testimonies. Encourage these people. And whatever God's given you to do, do it with all your heart. With all His energy at work in you. Now, that's almost a little clearer than mud, I'm sure, the whole Holy Spirit thing. Okay, but it's a little clearer than it was before you came, hopefully. Let's pray. God, you're an amazing God. I don't understand why you would want to come and work in me. I don't understand even why I have the ability to stand up here, because it's just you have given me and hardwired me. And Lord, as I surrendered my life to you, this is where you've led me at this part of my life. And Lord, you're going to call us all different places. You're going to use us all differently. But every one of us is hardwired with works that you prepared in advance for us to do. We're already wired for it. We just lack the power sometimes. And if we as believers, we have the power, but we lack the laying down our lives or our way. I pray that we might lay down our way to your way. Thank you so much, Lord. Just help us to think a little bit differently about where we are and about your spirit in us. I can do all things through Christ because he is my strength, not because of me. And Lord, all the glory goes to you. Use us as Pine Grove Community Church. Use us as individual churches of Jesus Christ, dwelling places of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you love us and you called us. In Jesus' name, amen.